Hello and welcome to this session of What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in beautiful Jasper, Georgia. We hold our services at 1191 East Church Street every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. and every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12:30. What we do is we take a book of the Bible and we go chapter by chapter and verse by verse to see what does the Bible say. So if you join me in Bible study this morning, if you just please open up your Bibles and let's look at it and see what does the Bible say. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians 11:2. The bride gets presented after the 7 days in the bridal chamber, picturing the 7 years of the tribulation period. That's what we're going to see in chapter 19, is the bride being presented to the world. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, Scripture says, "For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you." Who is the you? The believers. And the church at Corinth is out of the Gentile world. 1 Corinthians 12:2 says, "You know that you are Gentiles." So these are people who used to be pagans, but have gotten saved and are pagans no more. "For I betrothed you to one husband." Who's that husband? The bridegroom, Messiah Yeshua. "That I may present you as a chaste virgin to Messiah." How does God describe idolatry? As adultery. So Paul says, don't you fall back into that. No idolatry. Have nothing to do with idolatry. So put in your little margin there, no Christmas trees or Easter eggs. Let's look at Hosea chapter 2. What's Hosea mean? Salvation. Hosea 2. Giving us in the Old Testament. Right before Joel.
Like 2 Corinthians, right?
Yeah, Hosea 2. Verses 14 to 23. "Therefore, behold, I will allure her, will bring her into the wilderness and speak comfort to her. I'll give her her vineyards from there in the valley of Achor as a door of hope. She shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up from the land of Egypt. And it shall be in that day." What day? "The day of the Lord, says the Lord, that you shall call me my husband and no longer call me my master. For, because I will take from her mouth the names of the Baals." What are the Baals? Those are the pagan idols. In other words, no more will she chase after the idols. "And they shall be remembered by their name no more." No more idolatry once the Lord returns. "In that day, I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, with the birds of the air, with the creeping things of the ground. Bow and sword of battle I will shatter from the earth to make them lie down safely." That again is the promise of Isaiah 2 verse 4. Of Micah chapter 4, of Isaiah chapter 11. The animals will not hurt people anymore. The wolf will lay down with the lamb. That's in Isaiah 11. In Isaiah 2 and Micah 4, it says, they'll beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nations will not learn war anymore. So that's very clear, the time period we're talking here. Verse 19 says, "I will betroth you to me forever," forever, never more to go astray, never. It says, "Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. It shall come to pass in that day that I will answer, says the Lord. I will answer the heavens, and they shall answer the earth. meaning the rain's going to flow in its season. The earth is going to produce the crops. There's going to be plenty. The earth shall answer with grain, with new wine, with oil. They shall answer Jezreel. Jezreel means God will sow. And when God sows a crop, it produces bountifully. Then I will sow her for myself in the earth, and I will have mercy on her who had not obtained mercy. Then I will say to those who are not my people, you are my people. And they shall say, you are my God. The betrothing of the bride to the Lord.
Excuse me, Wayne.
Yes, ma'am.
I kind of like to, this immediately hit me. This helps me understand the wilderness wanderings of the Israelites and the crossing over into Jordan. I see the pattern here of all through history, how we are wandering and then coming to meet our husband.
Right. Very good. We need to look also at Isaiah chapter 54, which is about the bridegroom and the bride. Isaiah 54 is about the bridegroom and the bride. The bride is Jerusalem and its inhabitants. Just another indication that God intends to save Israel. When Romans 11:26 is ultimately fulfilled, where Paul said, "And all Israel shall be saved," it happens in the tribulation period. Chapter 54, verse 1 begins, "Sing, O barren, you who have not born." That's talking about Jerusalem. "Break forth into singing, cry aloud. You have not labored with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord." This is talking about the time when Jerusalem is going to again have been conquered. It's going to fall, at least half of it. And then when the Lord returns, he's going to call his people from all four corners of the world to come back to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is suddenly going to find not only is she full, but she has to keep expanding out her borders to handle all the people. Verse 2 says, "Enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed. Neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame, for you will forget the shame of your youth." That's when they were disobedient to God and chased after the Baals. "And you will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore." That is, they will forget having been cast out into the nations and wandering, because they're never going there again. "For your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name." What kind of prophecy? End times prophecy. "And your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth." During the millennial kingdom, Yeshua is Lord, he's God, he's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. The whole earth is going to come up to Jerusalem to worship him and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. They're going to learn Torah, we know from Isaiah 2, Micah 4, and Zechariah 14, 16. Verse 6 says, "For the Lord has called you like a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, like a youthful wife when you were refused," says your God. "For a mere moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you," says the Lord your Redeemer. So you see how Israel has come back into a relationship with God through Messiah, our kinsman, our Redeemer, our Savior, our Messiah, our King. Back to Revelation chapter 19, verse 8. "Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory." Rejoicing, rejoicing. What festival does that make you think of?
Tabernacles,
called the season of our joy. The tabernacles, it teaches the coming of the messianic kingdom, which is what we're reading about here. "For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready." Not is now getting ready, but has made herself ready. How did the bride make herself ready? Salvation by faith. Robes washed clean and Messiah's shed blood. Go back to Isaiah 61:10. If the trumpet blows next weekend, are you ready? If not, this is the time to get ready. Be like the five wise virgins in Matthew 25, not the five foolish ones. Isaiah 61, verse 10 says, I will greatly rejoice. What festival? Tabernacles. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. In other words, righteousness is going to be what people see in the bride, as they do in the bridegroom. For as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. What one word best characterizes the millennial kingdom?
Peace.
There probably isn't just one, but peace is a good one.
Righteousness.
Joy. Love, but righteousness is a key term to describe the kingdom. Are the unrighteous permitted in? No. How do you know? Because the Bible says so in black and white. Yeah. Okay. Trick question. Let's look also at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Just a little reminder. For we must all, that's talking about believers, appear before the judgment seat of Messiah, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he's done, whether good or bad. Is that a threat? Yeah. Wasn't even veiled. It's just a reminder that come judgment day, we're going to be judged. So keep that in mind and stop sinning. Back to...
Not to contradict that. I don't think that's a... A threat, because it's you're also going to be judged for the good things.
Yes.
And so that's how you get your rewards.
That's true.
So, I mean, it's...
So you don't think it is a threat. Okay.
Yeah,
how do you characterize it? What word would you use? A better word.
I don't know if there's a better word. I just didn't...
How about a promise?
A promise? Yeah, I just didn't want to focus on the negative, because...
You're right. It's not all negative.
Most of it's positive. Well, I mean, for some...
We hope it's mostly positive. Right, I agree with you. Revelation 19, verse 9 says, then he said to me, write. I had a question. Mary. Was that Mary?
No, I just came on my phone.
Oh, okay. Verse 9. Then he said to me, write. What's that mean, write?
Don't just listen, write it down.
Yeah, John's writing down. John may have stopped and put his pen down and said, oh, tell me more. And no, write it. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. He said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Let's go back and look at Matthew chapter 25. I mentioned the wise versus the foolish virgins. They're in Matthew chapter 25. It's a parable. Parable is a story that tries to use simple illustrations to make a heavenly point. Matthew 25, verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins. What they mean by virgins is young ladies who are hoping to be the bride. They're betrothed. They're waiting for the bridegroom to come. When the bridegroom comes, they hope to go with the bridegroom to the bridegroom's father's house to enter into the marriage ceremony. Who took their lamps. The bride is supposed to be making herself ready while the bridegroom is preparing the bridal chambers. And they're to keep the lamps trimmed full of oil and ready to go, to be ready to meet the bridegroom whenever he comes. Because the bride doesn't know when the bridegroom's coming. When it's time for the bridegroom to come get the bride, he stops a distance from the bride's house, blows a trumpet and shouts, and the bride who's been making herself ready comes out to meet him, and together they go to the father's house. Who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. All 10 anticipate being the bride. That's what you got to know from verse 1. They all believe they are the bride. Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Can you light a lamp that has no oil in it? The answer is yes, but not for long. The wick will burn as long as it burns, maybe a couple minutes, and then it's out. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. So when they light their lamp, the lamp continues to burn. What is the oil a picture of in the New Testament and other places in the Bible? Of the Holy Spirit. So 5 have the Holy Spirit, 5 do not, meaning 5 are saved, 5 are not, but all 10 think they are. While the bridegroom was delayed, that is from their point of view, he hasn't come yet, they all slumbered and slept. Oops, not just 5 of them, all 10. The scripture tells us again and again, don't be sleeping. Be watchful, be waiting, be ready. Verse 6, and at midnight a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. This is the trumpet call and the shout to Ruah, that come out, come up hither, come out to meet us. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Trim their lamps, meaning they're trimming the wick, getting them ready, and lighting the wick. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. Why are they going out? It was just the wick. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but rather go to those who sell and buy for yourselves, meaning we can't share our salvation with somebody else. Don't you wish you could grab a loved one that's not saved by the hand and say, you're going with me? Doesn't work that way, though.
Have you looked at the actual underlying language behind that? Because it strikes me as odd that it would say, no, because then we won't have enough. I mean, if you've got the Holy Spirit, you've got enough, right? I mean,
remember, it's a parable. It's just a story.
Okay, so it's I just thought maybe underneath it said something different, just badly translated.
I have not looked at the Hebrew for it, but I should, right after the rapture.
Yeah, we'll know then.
And while they went to buy, in other words, they weren't ready. They thought they were ready. They realize when the trumpet blows that they're not ready, and there's now not time to get ready. While they came to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was what?
Closed.
Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. He answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour which the Son of Man is coming. So what's the point of the parable? Is be ready, be prepared, be watchful, and listen for that trumpet to blow. Don't wait till the trumpet blows and then try to get ready.
Wayne?
Yes, ma'am.
Wayne?
Yep.
Okay, I'm trying to relate this to where Jesus says, after supposedly his followers, believers, go to him and say, didn't we do all these things in your name? And he said, get away from me, you workers of lawlessness. Now, when I try to relate the virgins who were supposed to have something and they didn't have it, is it like that?
Yes.
It's like the believers that thought they had something and they told Jesus, we did this for you.
Yeah.
And he said, so in a way,
it is like Matthew chapter 7. They thought they were saved, but they found out they were not.
Right.
And they found out too late.
The wine that they have to go, I mean, the oil they have to go buy is really not, you really can't purchase it.
Right.
So what are they really saying?
It's just a parable. What he's saying is, you have to find salvation for yourself. No one can share theirs with you. No one can give you salvation if you don't have it. So be ready, be prepared, so that when the trumpet blows, you can answer the trumpet call and stand before the Lord in heaven and have him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. In Matthew chapter 7, the teaching in Matthew chapter 7 starts with the discussion of the false teachers. They're going to try and lead you into false doctrine. And the ones who are being told, I never knew you, are those who listened to the false teachers and never got saved. The false doctrine was not salvation. They thought they were saved, but they were not. So,
excuse me, Wayne.
Yes, Sally?
Wouldn't that be like faith and obedience? Faith and works go hand in hand. Some have faith, but they don't have the works to all of God's commandments, like eating clean, observing the Sabbath, and so on.
Yes, they didn't have faith, although they thought they did. What all that is trying to teach us is that an acknowledgement in your mind that there is a God in heaven somewhere is not faith. It's not the same thing. If you truly have faith in God, you believe that there is a God who said, do this, then you're going to do it. Too many people just think, I need to make a mental assert that there is a God in heaven and my fire insurance is paid and I can go live however I want. Because they've been taught that. And the scripture says, that's not saving faith. As Mike said earlier, there's a test in 1 John chapter 2. Do you truly have faith or don't you? It'll be demonstrated, as Sally said, by your works. Your works demonstrate it. And we're going to come across that as we continue to study Revelation here.
And that's a good example of a witness for people who go to church to witness to others who think that they can go to church on Sunday and still be okay. How important witnessing is and showing the truth, whether they accept it or not.
And of course, everybody's free to choose to follow or not follow. But choices have consequences. Correct.
Wayne,
yes?
This takes place at the rapture.
Correct.
What about those who, if these other five virgins go into the tribulation period, are they still subject to salvation?
Yes, they can still get saved. In the parable, they didn't. But that's part of the caution, is the tribulation period doesn't last forever. Mm-hmm. Be diligent. Get it done.
Wayne, would you remind me, the people that are saved during the tribulation are not part of the bride of Christ. What are they?
They're, what did we read here? Those who are invited to the marriage supper.
But the marriage supper already took place in heaven.
No, it didn't. Marriage supper takes place on earth.
Oh, okay.
The marriage takes place in heaven, and then there's the 7 years of the tribulation period, which are the 7 days of the chuppah. It's at the end of the period that the bride and bridegroom are presented to the world, and they have the marriage supper. Marriage supper's on earth.
Those, the five foolish, they can be, the way I understand it, one of three things, right? They can either be beheaded and then they're in heaven, right? If they're killed for the word during the 7 years,
then their souls are in heaven waiting for the resurrection of their bodies.
Right. Or they can live to the end of it and die because they're never going to come to faith, right?
True. Some will never come to faith.
Or they can live to the end of it and go into the kingdom as mortals. So they have...
Right. Those three possibilities.
Possibilities, right?
Yep. In Matthew 25, the five were not ready until after the door was closed. The door doesn't close until the end of the tribulation period. So the five never did come to faith. The five foolish. But your question is, what if those do come to faith during the tribulation period? They're not part of the bride of Messiah, because that happened at the beginning. That's verse 9. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Those are the attendants, those who come to the marriage supper at the end, because they're wearing the right robes, and the white robes are the robes of righteousness. They got saved during the tribulation period. So we just hadn't finished verse 9 yet.
Why isn't door being shut a reference to Yom Kippur also?
Yes, the door is shut at Ne'alot, the end of Yom Kippur, which is what ends the tribulation period.
Hi, Wayne?
Yes, Sam?
If the doors are opened on Rosh Hashanah and they close on Yom Kippur,
right,
which is 10 days later, how come during the tribulation the doors stay open the whole 7 years till the next Yom Kippur?
Okay, let me try and do this simplistically. Hold up 10 fingers. Oh. 10 fingers.
How many?
Not your toes, your 10 fingers.
That all of them?
That's all of them. Put down the first two. The first two are Tishrei 1 and 2. Tishrei 1 and 2 are Rosh Hashanah. Put down the 10th one. That's Yom Kippur. That's when the Lord returns for the Battle of Armageddon. How many fingers are left standing?
Seven.
Representing the 7 years between the rapture and the resurrection and the door closing at Yom Kippur.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
So it doesn't close the Yom Kippur of this year. Well, correct. Theoretically, it would close the Yom Kippur at the end of
right.
the tribulation.
Where in the scripture does the Lord teach us that a day can represent a year?
Oh, it's in there.
Okay. Yeah, the prophet laid on one side so many days and on the other side so many days, each day representing a year. Yeah, okay. It's in there. It's, yep.
Ezekiel 37, I think it was.
Yep. It's in there. So back to verse 9. They said to me, right, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's not the bride. That's those that have been invited. Remember the parable Messiah told about the kingdom of heaven being like a marriage supper? And there was a man who didn't have on the right garment, and the king threw him out of the marriage supper? And people go, that's not fair. Well, the father of the bridegroom who throws the marriage supper provides the wedding garments to all the guests. The wedding garments being the salvation, the robes of righteousness. This man who didn't have on the robes of righteousness had refused it. That's why he gets tossed out.
So is that group the same as the tares? Those who don't have the right
yes,
garment are the tares?
Are the tares. First Dan.
Well, that's about all the time we have for today, folks. If you've enjoyed this Bible study and you want more information on what we teach, please go to our website at www.john1415.org, where you'll find all of our Bible studies for the past 3 or 4 years in MP3 format, organized by book. And we've covered just about every book of the Bible. So you can listen online, or you can right-click on the link and download the file to your iPhone, iPad, or however you like to listen to your teachings. May God bless you. We'll see you next week.